Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAN. And here's your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thank you, Pastor Baller, and thanks, everybody, for joining us as always. We have a very special guest and a very dear friend, and I can't wait to have her share with you and speak to you. We're going to do a little Q&A. She's only got about 20 minutes for us because she's about to board a plane. So we're going to try to open it up for you all to ask your questions as soon as we can get started. Okay, so let's say a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for everything you do for us, because the fact that we are alive is because of your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we're so grateful for this nation, so grateful for the freedom that we enjoy, so grateful for the potential that it offers for our future. And Lord, we are doing our very best to make sure that America remains a nation whose God is the Lord, because we know therein lies the true basis of our success, not our genius, not even our ethics or hard work, but rather our faith in Almighty God. And Lord, help us to remain that nation, a nation that is exalted by righteousness rather than reproached by sin, a nation in which we can rejoice because the righteous are in authority rather than mourn because the wicked are ruling. And Lord, thank you so much for these leaders on the call and all that they do to help move this country in the right direction. And thank you so much for our special guest who has been on the front lines in this nation, standing up for you, standing up for life, standing up for righteousness, and frankly, for love in America rather than hatred. And we are so thankful for her and ask you to continue to bless her, lead her, and guide her as she continues the work that you've given her to do. So, Lord God, we commit this call, we commit this country, we commit our own lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, folks, thanks again. Now, our guest, of course, is none other than Dr. Alveda King. She is the niece of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, and she has been on the front lines of the life issue for a long time. And I'll tell you just a quick story before I bring her on. You can read more about her, the details of her bio, but we're short on time. She came and opened up the first Martin Luther King Leadership Breakfast we had 24 years ago now. It will be the 24th next time. And she didn't really know me from Adam, but she was gracious enough to come and open up that breakfast, and it has gone on ever since. She kicked it off, and it is now almost a quarter of a century that we've been holding that year. So I will always owe her a debt of gratitude for that, and she'll always have a very special place in my heart for having done that, because it's been a great contribution to the community of Chesapeake where we hold it. All right, Dr. King, thank you so much. We know what your schedule is like. And I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. And I'll give you a chance to greet everybody on the line, and then I want to open it up with some questions. And folks, press *6 to get in queue. And as soon as your questions come in, we'll begin to open them up, give you an opportunity to ask a question.
All right. Well, hello, and it's good to greet you. And I do remember our first time of speaking to the community and explaining to the community that all is not lost, and it totally has not been. We're in a very victorious time, celebrating the goodness of the Lord. And so I tell people, fear not, have faith in God, faith, hope, love, repentance, and forgiveness, and we will continue on this journey.
All right. Well, then let's open up with this is the first question I would ask you. You said we are experiencing victories. People look at the news. They watch what's going on in the country. There's a lot of fear about the future, a lot of concern about what's going to happen. They see the crime that seems to be running rampant. They see the borders being overrun. They see inflation on the march. What would you say to people about how to keep their hearts guarded, if you will, so that they don't despair and don't want to give up, but remain hopeful about the future of the country?
Well, what I've experienced, and I know you did not ask me this, but it was amazing to me, that the top anchor at CNN and Fox have been released. And I said, God, what in the world is going on? Are we experiencing a cataclysmic shift or something? So this is the time that we are not going to be upset or frightened or fearful, but to continue to look to the Lord, because you have to kind of just look around at what's happening. My wonderful goddaughter, Angela Stanton King, has opened a women's center in Atlanta for mothers who are pregnant or who have just had a new baby. And just so many wonderful things are happening to give assistance to the community. So I'm just very excited about what's happening. Look around in your own community, at your church, at the nonprofit organizations, at the CEOs who are over businesses, who are doing great things in the community, and look at what you're doing yourself. If you are encouraging people, helping people, donating to nonprofits that are helping the community, God is on the move. America, wake up. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are under siege, but we know we have the answers.
Now, we as pro-life people, we as they like to class us conservatives, I say I don't like the labels because I'm really just a Bible-believing Christian, but we are labeled as haters. We're labeled as bigots. I mean, for example, those of us who are pro-life would say we hate women and we're trying to rob women of their rights, and all kinds of very negative things are said about us. If you point out, for example, all the young kids, black kids being murdered in the streets of our cities, you're a racist and you shouldn't even be talking about that because that doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is what the police are doing. How do we deal with the level of hatred that is being thrown at us without falling into the trap of bitterness and anger and hatred ourselves?
Well, you know my story, how I wanted to hate white people because I thought they killed my uncle and my daddy said the devil did it and we're one blood and one race. And then daddy was taken the next year with the same forces. But we have to love, forgive, repent, and see people. There's only one blood and one human race. There's no separate races. And we have to remind each other of that. It's hard to forget it because we've been indoctrinated. But we have, you know, every nation, tongue, and tribe. Then you want to run with your tribe and not meet the next tribe. You can always find a reason not to communicate. But if we can communicate with each other, love each other, treat each other as human beings from the womb to the tomb and beyond. I had to repent for abortions and a lot of things I did in my life. Stop worshiping idols. Stop worshiping politics. And I realized that recently. I was somebody said, would you pray and lay some stones in honor at the feet of Martin Luther King? I said, sounds like bowing down to an idol. I said, I don't think I'm going to do that. I said, we'll lay these stones in front of God and praise him for giving us people who will serve him, including Martin Luther King. So those times, check yourself first, Bishop, and then see what you want to do for everybody else.
Amen. We've got a caller that wants to ask a question. Let's take that.
Hello. Hi, this is Zena Hackworth in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi. I just had one question. Thank you, Dr. King. When Dobbs was decided, everyone was rejoicing, including me. But one of the concerns I had is that people were rejoicing, the pro-life movement was rejoicing too much because they didn't see that we had a fight ahead of us. And that's why I was happy, but I wasn't rejoicing because I knew the fight was coming. The big fight was really coming, just starting. So how do we get the word out to the pro-life movement that this is, you know, that now they're doing it underhandedly. They're doing abortions with the abortion pills, so we have a long fight ahead of us. How do we get that word out? Thank you.
Well, Zena, it's so glad to hear your question. You know, we'll be together soon, I think. There's a meeting that we go to several times a year. But what we do is, I tell people all the time, even with awards, and people say, well, I want to give you an award. I say, make it into a commission. Commission me to stay in the fight. Don't give me a bottle of champagne and I sit down and celebrate. But spur me on and I'll spur you on. And that's the way I look at it. So the celebration is simply an acknowledgement. Okay, we got this one. Now let's keep going. And it's almost like these tournaments and stuff. People win a game regionally, then they have to go national and then global. So we stay in the fight. We commend each other, honor each other where it's appropriate. But I think people did catch on kind of fast because at the States, we're doing pretty good at the States now from what I'm checking. So we just make sure that holds.
You think Americans will ever reach a point? Can we persuade our country that this is not an issue of reproductive rights, but really an issue, a vital moral issue of life? I've asked questions to audiences and said, at what point in your development was it not you? Was it not you at the moment of conception? Was it not you at 3 months of development? Was it not you at 6 months? Was it not you at 9 months? I mean, this idea that somehow that's not really a life, that's not really a person, that's not really anything that's worthy of protection. Can we ever get to a point you think, well, we can persuade Americans this is a really – I do liken it to the time when people said, well, black people weren't really human and therefore it was okay to do X, Y, Z. They're not quite like us. Are we ever going to get to the point where we see unborn children as real persons who are deserving of protection in life?
If we can do human rights from the womb to the tomb and beyond, if we can actually hold on to that, say it every time we get a chance, say it everywhere we get a chance, I think we'll be good. So that's what I do, human rights. Not black rights, not baby rights, not old people rights, not gay rights, human rights, from the womb to the tomb and beyond. And then when we start seeing people as human beings, for example, we're going to treat people as if they are human beings because they are. And so if we can hold on to that picture, then we'll be okay.
Now, I get this question a lot. Folks, press *6 to get into you to ask a question. We've only got about 5 minutes left, but I get this question a lot, and I want to throw it to you. Why do so many Christians, many of them black, but Christians from all backgrounds, why do they say, well, I'm pro-life, I believe in God, I believe in biblical righteousness, but then they vote for candidates who don't believe in any of that? And maybe because they think the candidate's going to do something for them or the party's going to do something for them or whatever, but they seem to be willing to cast aside their most fundamental values and convictions in order to go along with a party or a platform that contradicts all of that. Why do you think that is, and is that ever going to change?
It does change. It's indoctrination. You know, the first time it changed that I can remember, because I'm 72 years old, I was a Democrat, I was a Republican many, many years ago, not voting even young. My grandfather, Martin Luther King Sr., was a Republican. Most black people were Republicans. And so my grandfather, being the father of Martin Luther King Jr., was very concerned. The family was concerned because my uncle was in jail, in danger, and none of the politicians were helping. Didn't seem like any hope of getting out. So my grandfather said to my Aunt Coretta, he said, I've got a suitcase of over 100,000 votes, and I'm going to take them to Washington, D.C., and help give them to anybody who gets my son out of jail. Now, we know that Nixon was running and Kennedy. They asked Nixon to do it, believe it or not. President Nixon said, let's do something. His people said, no, we can't. President Kennedy said, we can't touch that. His brother Bobby said, we have to touch that. So they went ahead and helped to get my uncle out of jail, and the rest is history. Granddaddy took those 100,000 votes or so over, really. And so many blacks left the Republican Party. Now, as a result, all these years later, we noticed that several candidates, President Bush got a surprising number, you know, not a lot, but enough blacks to get him into office. First time around, so did President Trump. So things can change, but it's teaching, it's education, but more so than that, it is prayer. When we pray, submit ourselves, repent, and ask God to help us, things happen. This is the time for more of that prayer, America. We've got to continue to pray. Bishop, I'm going to have to slip away from you. I'll take one more question, and
we'll talk again soon. Let's take a question from someone else. We've got another question on the line. Go ahead and take that question. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'd just be commenting, I would really like to see the argument going forward about how the biologically replete and individually developing product of human conception is, by definition, human and being from conception. that's mm-hmm. just really simple. It seems to be a simple thing to say and viable. In his or her womb, the shared space that he or she shares with his or her mother, this is a baby.
All right. We've got it. We're short on time, but we've got it. Oh, great. Do you want to reply to that, Dr. King?
I do. We absolutely agree. Often we are saying that more and more, from the womb to the tomb and beyond, and seeing people as human beings with human dignity, one blood, one race, in need of love. And it's the more we say that and the more we believe it, then the more we can expect God to move in our lives.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, I know you've got to run. Have a safe flight. And thank you so much. We got the video, and we're really looking forward to giving you the George Washington Award for taking a stand on May the 16th, and we'll follow up with you afterwards, okay?
Thank you so much. God bless everybody. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, folks, Dr. Alveda King, a great warrior for life and a great woman of God. We are honoring her at our Stand Awards dinner on May the 16th at the 7 p.m. at the Tyson's Corner Marriott. If you don't have your tickets yet, let me just say a couple things about that. One is we've got a lot of complimentary tickets because of sponsors who have donated but are not going to be able to make it. So we've got a number of complimentary tickets available. We will run out of them. We did last year. So they're on a first-come, first-served basis. So let me just tell you how this is going to work. Now, these tickets are $150. If you don't need a complimentary ticket, you're certainly welcome to buy a ticket. It all helps us. But for those who want complimentary tickets, email us at awardsdinner@standinc.net, awardsdinner@standinc.net. Then you can also use awardsdinner@standamerica.us. People are accustomed to that. We're phasing that out because of problems with Google, believe it or not. They blacklisted that URL, and so we have a hard time getting our emails to anybody who's got a Gmail address under that. But you can still email to it. So, again, awardsdinner@standamerica.us or awardsdinner@standinc.net. So you can just say, I'd like to pick up two tickets. Now, the general rule is two tickets per person, okay? But if you've got a family of people, your immediate family now, not your extended family, but your immediate family, who you want to bring, you know, son, daughter, that kind of thing, we will extend more, again, on a first-come, first-served basis. As we begin to run out, we may get a little bit more restricted, but right now we've got plenty of them, and we're happy to have people use them and show up at the dinner. We're going to have a full house, folks. We always do. This is just part of the process because we have a lot of out-of-town sponsors who simply can't get here from where they are, but they want to support our work. So I hope that you will come and take advantage of the complimentary tickets if you'd like to do that. Or maybe you want to buy a ticket or two and then use a couple of complimentary tickets to bring others with you. That's fine, too. Here's the thing, though. If you sign up to get complimentary tickets, we will reserve them. They will be available to you. But please, please, please make sure you come or confirm with us if you find out that you can't. Because here's the problem that we have. Last year, we gave away a lot of complimentary tickets, same basis. We had a lot of those people who didn't show up, and that means we paid for those dinners, and those dinners, folks, are very expensive. We spent thousands of dollars for dinners that people weren't eaten, okay? And I'm not exaggerating. We spent thousands of dollars for dinners that weren't eaten because people didn't show up. So we're asking those who take complimentary tickets to please plan to come, and then we will check back with you. And if you find out you can't, please check back with us and say, oh, sorry, I can't use that ticket, or I can't use those three tickets. And that way we will not pay for dinners when we give the final count. We will not pay for dinners that have no use. Because think about this. It really is a waste of our donors' money to use that money to spend for meals, to pay for meals that people don't eat. rather than paying for the organizational needs that they really donated the money for, okay? So it's really dishonorable to do that, and it's disrespectful to the people who are giving their money. So we just ask the people who take complimentary tickets, make sure you come, or at the very least, if things change and you can't, you give us notice that you will not be there, and that way we can take that dinner out of the count and not end up paying for it, okay? Because once it's in the count and we give that count, we got to pay for the dinner whether a person shows up or not, okay? All right, so that's the first thing. But we'd love to have you come. We've got plenty of complimentary tickets right now. Like I said, we will run out. We are exactly 3 weeks from the dinner. We will run out. So if you want to come, first serve basis, that's how you do it. Just go to awardsdinner@standamerica.us or awardsdinner@standinc.net. One or the other will get you there. And if you want to buy tickets, of course, just go to the website, standamerica.us. If you have any trouble, just call our office or email us at 757-375-6444 or email us at ewjackson@ewjackson.com. That'll do it, ewjackson@ewjackson.com. And say, hey, I tried to buy tickets. We've had some others do this. Well, one or two people do this who couldn't seem to get through our system, and so we took care of that for them or had people send a check. So either way. All right, that's number one. That's the big thing right now, folks. Now, let me add something to this, and you all are among the very first to hear this, okay? This is God has worked this out to give me time to get this out. Now, this is big. This is extremely important. So please pay close attention. Don't leave. God has blessed us. In fact, I don't think my staff even knows this because this just happened yesterday. But God has blessed us to be in a position to get 100-plus acres of land for my church, for Stan, for everything that we're doing. And it is so inexpensive that it's almost being given away. And I am not exaggerating. It's almost being given away. But obviously, it does cost us something. Pennies on what an acre would normally cost you. And so we're asking for your help. So that should, I would hope, incentivize you to give, because we're looking now to build a campus for all the things that God has given me to do so they can all operate in one place. We'll have my studio there. We'll have the stand offices there. We'll have our school there, the Maximum Potential Christian Academy. The church will be there, and other things that I have in mind that we haven't even gotten to talking about yet, because I really do see at some point a Bible college with a particular focus on citizenship and on what it means to be a citizen in a free nation. And I haven't figured out what we call that, but I do see that as part of what God has for me to do, because part of the problem is we're not raising up citizens anymore. We're raising up babies who just want to whine and moan and cry about, you know, what they're entitled to, as opposed to responsible citizens who see themselves as stewards of the greatest nation in the history of mankind. And in the classic words of John Kennedy, instead of asking, hey, what are you going to do for me? They're asking, what can I do for my country? Remember that? Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. You won't hear Democrats say that today, will you? Because they're too busy teaching people to not just ask, but demand what everybody ought to be doing for you. And we really do need a revolution in the way we understand what it means to be a citizen of a free constitutional republic. But at any rate, this land provides us with the place to do all of that and more. And so we've got it locked down. We have signed a purchase and sale agreement. Now we just got to close in 60 days. And I hope that will incentivize you to give, maybe to give to that especially, because we're 14 years old and we would really like to have a place to call home and this provides us with that place. So, folks, I'm excited about it. This is big news. It really is. It's come to me by the grace of God. I wasn't looking for it. I've always had a vision for a campus, but I certainly wasn't out hunting. But this basically just was put into my lap. Somebody who believes in what we're doing said, you know, I think that you ought to be the one to get this and do something with it. So folks, stand by for more on that. But that's part of why we really need everybody's prayers and support in our behalf. And if you can't come to the dinner, you can give a donation. Or maybe you can give a donation in behalf of the new campus that we're seeking to build. It's going to be several years before the thing is built out, obviously, but we got to get it now. We got to buy it now so that we can begin to do what needs to be done with it. The other thing I'd mention is my book. Of course, if you sign up as a Patriot partner with a gift of $25 or more, we will send you a signed, numbered copy of the book. And once again, just to reassure you, nobody's signing these books for me. I am signing these books personally, numbering them personally, and dating them personally, so that you will know that this book has come from me, from the author's stash. So if you can help us in that way, or a $300 gift or annually, same result. So either $25 a month or $300 gift annually to sign up as a Patriot partner. I believe that takes care of, well, we got some other things in the works, but you know what? Well, I think that's enough for now, okay? That's enough for now. So look, folks, here's what I would just say to you all. I'm going to be on the radio in about 30 minutes, and I'm going to be talking about this child that was just killed, and these two kids stole a car, drove the car into another vehicle, killed a six-month-old baby. I'm going to focus on that, because what I really want to talk about is this ideology that is taking over our country, which is purports to be so concerned about people, like concerned about drag queens and concerned about transgenders and concerned about women and concerned about blacks and concerned about, you know, BIPOCs. It's really not at all concerned about human beings. And that's what I want to get to. We are dealing with a really anti-human ideology and philosophy. You say, well, how exactly can you say that? Because you can tell by the reaction they have to the constituents that they feel do not matter to them, or do not matter in the sense that what they do is not going to cause them to lose power. And so they don't really care about all the black people being murdered in the inner city, but they care about sending out the message that they're down with the struggle and they're in favor of social justice. And so that it's important that any time a crime is committed, that they side with the criminals, because after all, the criminals are really just victims of systemic racism, right? The people that they're murdering are only victims of crime. But the murderers themselves, the robbers, the rapists, the looters, the shoplifters, they're victims of social justice. So, you know, if you want to be an acceptable victim, then you need to be a victim of social justice, as they would define it. Not a victim of crime in the streets. Certainly not a victim of black on black crime. That really doesn't matter. Because after all, you're just being killed by another black person. You might be just dead in the end, but that's relatively insignificant, because they really don't care about what happens to people in general. They just care about what can be used to further their agenda. We've got to always remember that, because we are on the moral high side of this argument, because look, we actually care about everybody. I mean, we care about those victims that are being gunned down. I care about these crazy criminals. I would like to see them raised in stable families where they could get guidance and direction instead of becoming monsters that terrorize our streets. But to the extent that that's the light that they end up choosing, you got to lock them up. You got to put them away in order to keep everybody else safe. When they go to prison, I hope they get saved. I hope they get reformed. I hope they get turned around. Praise God. I'd rejoice in that. I have prisoners write to me all the time who listen to me on the radio. Wonderful. God bless them. But you've got to protect the law-abiding, innocent citizens. And frankly, the ideology of the Democrat Party is not interested in them, because those aren't the people that they think keep them in power. Or let's put it this way. As long as they are perceived as warriors for social justice, it doesn't really matter what happens to those people, because they're going to keep voting them in as champions of racial and social justice. This is profound demagoguery, profound propaganda, and it's got to be called out. It has got to be called out. I want to say this. I haven't said anything about this on this call ever before, but I'm going to say it now. Some of you may be aware of this, but as I've traveled the country and spoken and I'm on the radio, people are constantly saying to me, you know, you should run for president, you should run for president, you should run for president. I hear it all the time, and I'm not exaggerating. I'm not saying it to toot my own horn. Well, I don't know whether that's what they really want, or what they're really saying is, we want somebody who is going to call this nation back to God. We want our leaders to acknowledge that we are in a moral and spiritual freefall, and that all the other things that we can talk about, which are very important, mind you, they are very important, they really seem to come ultimately back to one issue. Is there such a thing as truth? Is there such a thing as absolutes? And is there a God to whom we are accountable? And I would argue that the fundamental value of the United States of America, the fundamental value, is the answer to that question. There is a God to whom we are all accountable, and that he is the one who sets forth truth and moral absolutes. And we defy his truth, his moral absolutes, and his authority only to our own great detriment. And that is exactly what is happening now. The Democrat Party has gone into a wholly anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-morality, anti-truth party. Now, that's just the truth of the matter, folks. That's just the way it is. And we need leadership. We need leadership, and not just the president, but we need people in Congress. We need people in at every level who understand that and are willing to stand up for the fact that while we do not have an official religion in our country, we are culturally a Christian nation. We are culturally a nation that is rooted and grounded in Judeo-Christian values and principles. And until we come back to that, until we begin to address that, all the rest of the stuff we talk about is window dressing. It really is. Because that's really what's fundamentally at stake. So when we say there's only two genders, male and female, we are coming from a Judeo-Christian perspective or from a Christian cultural perspective. And when people say, no, there's not, they're saying, I reject that perspective and I reject that culture and I reject those values, which means I want my nation to be a very different nation than the one founded on the principle that rights and freedoms, liberty, comes from Almighty God. We're dealing with people who just don't believe that. And they won't say it, but they really don't believe that. People who will say, yeah, there's nothing wrong with stealing because after all, the what you're stealing was gotten by social injustice, and therefore you got a right to take it, and you're owed it. Consider the kind of reparations. So there's no reference to the God of the Bible who says, thou shalt not steal. Period. There's no footnote. It's wrong. So are we going to be a nation with moral absolutes, a nation that acknowledges that we are all accountable to God, or are we going to be a nation in which there are no absolutes and people get to make it up as they go along, and therefore it's okay to cut off the breast of a 14-year-old girl because she thinks she's a boy on the inside and somebody, her parents or doctors or who, are happy to go along with her, with mutilating her or cutting off the genitalia of some young guy because he thinks he's a girl on the inside and they're happy to mutilate his body without any acknowledgement of the fact that 5, 10 years from now, he may look back and say, I was a stupid kid and I didn't know what I was doing. And my life has now been messed up and I can't ever correct it. So that's really what this boils down to, folks. And I know all of us are on the side that there is a God. And there are moral absolutes. And we are all accountable to him. And we defy his truth and his moral vision for us only to our own detriment. You know, the scripture says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. That means when a nation forgets God, it becomes like hell. And that's exactly what the Democrat Party and the left is trying to do to America, turn it into a kind of hell. And you and I are not going to allow it to happen. So, look, help us to continue this fight. Help us to keep going forward. And let's encourage our leaders to be bold and unapologetic in standing up for the fact that America doesn't work without God. And when you reject God, you are, in effect, destroying our country because you're destroying its most basic foundations. Well, God bless each and every one of you. I hope you all will come out to the dinner and just continue to support us in all that we're seeking to do because, look, we're not trying to build a kingdom for ourselves. We got a wonderful country that's been built for us by those who've gone before us. And we've got a wonderful kingdom that is presided over by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All we're trying to do is occupy until he comes. That's it. That's all. He's the king. His is the kingdom. And ours is the service to him and what he's trying to do, because what he's trying to do for us is good. So thank you all for standing with us. Thank you for supporting us. Looking forward to seeing you at the dinner. And looking forward to all of us just staying in the fight until the victory is won for our country. So, folks, God bless you. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.